Now's the time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Well, at this time, I want to officially welcome everybody on Rumble, YouTube, on through the app or through Spotify or Apple that may be joining us today. Again, this is End Time Headlines, and today is the day after tragedy has struck Texas, a small town there in Texas. As we all know, an elementary school will never be the same. The community will never be the same. Today, there's the families of 19 families or more are mourning the loss of their children. Two others mourning the loss of their loved one. As the official report now is, 19 elementary kids were killed, and two teachers, all their lives were senselessly taken, and yet another senseless murder. And we're going to talk about this today. I'm going to forewarn you up front that we are not going to politicize this. If you're looking for someone or an individual to politicize an event, this is not the platform for that. You're not going to find that here. If you're looking for sensationalism, you're not going to find that here. If you're looking for me to promote conspiracy theories, I'm not going to do that here. But what we are going to do is we are going to talk about this, the ramifications of this, the spiritual side of this, the real enemy behind this, and why this is only going to get worse if we don't see a genuine awakening in our nation. Again, if you're just joining me, we're talking about the tragic day. We're talking about the day after the dust has settled and tragedy has struck a small town in Texas at an elementary school, Robb Elementary. According to the latest, the gunman, 18 years of age, in my book, is a kid himself, 18 years of age, went into this elementary school. According to reports, he, quote, exhibited bizarre behavior leading up to this event, including cutting up his own face with knives for, quote, fun. The gunman, Salvador Ramos, however you pronounce that, one of his friends said that the two had been close. They had a close relationship. They played video games together. They played basketball together. But according to Salvador's friend, he said that he was exhibiting strange behavior, and it even began to deteriorate leading up to this event. At one point, he recounted that Salvador showed up at a park with scratch marks across his face and said that he had been attacked by a cat, but later told him the truth that he had been cutting his own face with a knife. Now, guys, listen, this is behavior that expresses or exhibits any kind of self-harm, self-infliction, this is demonic. This is demonic in nature, whether it be oppression or possession. Remember the story of the man in the Gadarenes who was demon-possessed. What did it say of him? He dwelt in tombs and he cut himself night and day. So obviously, I don't want to say that the man was demon-possessed, but to say that he was not demon-oppressed is an understatement. According to reports, and again, we're not going to make a hero of this guy. We're not going to make this program all about him. But there was yet more signs of this. Look, it blows me away. Listen, I want to go on my little rant. It's not going to be about gun control, so you don't have to worry about that or this or politicizing. But here's my 2-minute rant that I want to express, and then we're going to get to the spiritual side of this. And that is this. It's absolutely amazing to me that the technology exists, whether it be through social media, through apps, through technology that can both listen and both watch us at all times, make predictions through AI. They can monitor everything you do, but yet why can't we intervene in these situations? How many times have we seen shootings, attacks, terrorist activity, terrorist attacks? And every single time when all the smoke settles, the report comes out and says, well, the FBI has been watching them closely. The authorities have been monitoring for some time. They have exhibited troubles and problems for some time. Witnesses say they've made threats in the past. They said this. They put this on social media. They said that even the guy who recently made news, that went into that grocery store and did what he did, the guy had a whole rap sheet online. And we couldn't stop this? Are you kidding me? But hey, you say something that's against the mainstream narrative. You dare question anything at the narrative, and they will shut you down within 24 hours. Your Facebook page will be taken down. Your social media presence will be snuffed out, and you will be completely eradicated from any kind of influence that you can have a voice from. But these guys can take pictures of themselves holding weapons, making threats, having an entire diaries and manifestos of what they're going to do, but yet we can't stop that. We can't intervene that until after it's all said and done and they've taken their life or they were taken out, and then all the information comes forward. Anyway, I got that off my shoulders. But look, what was it? Last week we did a podcast and I said that there was a trifecta of storms that were going to only get worse as we go further into 2022. Y'all remember that? I said, what was the three that I talked about? I said the abortion issue. We ain't even seen nothing yet. That is going to explode like you would not believe when we get into the summer. They've warned about that. Number two was the food shortages, aka famine. And number three, I talked about this. I talked about mass shootings. Y'all remember that? Look, I'm not claiming to be a prophet because I don't consider myself to be a prophet, but I'm telling you, the writing is on the wall. I've got to really restrain myself. I could go on, but I'm telling you, I knew, and I still don't think it's over. Sadly. But again, I don't want to put the spotlight on this individual or some ethnicity or some political group or some agenda. I'm putting the spotlight on the author of death, the author of confusion, the one who is the puppet master pulling the strings, and that's Satan. But we're going to pray today. Right there on your screen is, these are the faces of innocent lives that were taken out. And it grieves me. Listen, guys, my eyes are swollen today from, I mean, I wept many times yesterday because consequently, when this was all unfolding, I was picking up my own 7 or 6 going on 7 year old son from school on his last day of school, picking him up. And all the while, here I'm in the state of Georgia, and all the while in Texas, this was unfolding. So, excuse me, but it hit me really hard as a parent myself. I can't imagine what these parents and these loved ones are going through right now. And we're going to pray for them today. At the end of this broadcast, we're going to pray for them. But listen to me, I'm not going to be on here long today. We typically don't broadcast on Wednesdays, but I knew that we have to talk about this, and I've got to give you the truth. If you came for a political angle, you're not going to find it. If you came for conspiracy theories, you're not going to get that here. But I'm going to give you what the Bible says. And Jesus warned in Matthew 24:12-14, as we get closer to the end of the age, what did he say? He said, lawlessness will abound. It will wax worse. It will increase. It will intensify. Lawlessness. And because of it, the love of many will grow cold. I hate to say this, but many of us, these tragedies has happened so many times in America that people are beginning to grow numb to it. We could home in on the aspect of the love of many growing cold, and we could pin that on the shooters, the perpetrators, and say their love has waxed cold. Sure, of course that. But listen, we are becoming desensitized to this kind of violence because it's happening so much. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in an environment or in a country where this is the normal. I don't want to become so desensitized that I don't shed a tear. It doesn't break my heart when this happens. It doesn't anger me when this happens. It doesn't drive me on my knees and pray and intercede for our country and for the victims and for everything that's happening. Listen to me, friend, if you're listening to this today and you call yourself a believer and you see what's going on and you see these situations like this and it doesn't drive you to your knees, I question where your heart is. Are you so politicized that you're just quick to erect the banner of politics versus, come on, raising your hands up to heaven and praying that God would intervene and bring healing to the land and healing to the nation? God, forgive us if we become desensitized to what's going on around us. But I want to pull this up. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Listen to what I'm telling you. As we get closer to the time of the end, because of this very thing we're seeing, because lawlessness will abound. We're not just talking about mass shootings, but we're talking about all kinds of things. The shedding of innocent blood. We're talking about violence in the street. We're talking about a civil unrest. We're talking about a hate. We're talking about division. We're talking about dissension. We're talking about discord. We're talking about murders. We're talking about all that. Because of lawlessness abounding, it is going to cause the love of many to grow cold. And I fear that many in the church are no longer moved by these things because they've become desensitized. No wonder it says in Matthew 24, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I don't know how to put this. I am a believer in the rapture of the church, but listen, my stance is a lot different than the cookie cutter in the box rapture believing personified Christian, I guess you could say, because I believe that, yes, I believe in a rapture or a catching away or a harpazo. And I have traditionally always believed in a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, if you can just calm down and not argue for the next 25 minutes on social media, because I've made that statement, just listen to what I'm saying here, that would help. But I believe as believers that we are going to see and endure a whole lot more than what we have been traditionally led to believe behind traditional denominational pulpits in America over the past 40 to 50 years. Let me say that one more time in case that didn't soak in. Even though I traditionally myself personally believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, I also believe that the body of Christ is going to see and endure a whole lot more than what we have been traditionally taught by traditional denominational churches and behind pulpits in America for the last 40 to 50 years. I'm going to be honest with you because you know me. I've always been honest with you. When it comes to the rapture of the church, I've always believed in a pre-tribulation rapture. But listen, I have prepared myself for a mid-tribulation rapture. Now, post-tribulation rapture, no question, not going to argue that. Makes no sense whatsoever. Maybe we'll do a whole segment on that, and I'll teach on why I believe a post-tribulation rapture doesn't make any sense. Just on a practical, logical standpoint of that. If I'm going to endure the first 42 months and then the latter 42 months of the Great Tribulation and endure all the bowl judgments and the vial judgments and the scrolls being opened and the asteroid coming and the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the image of the beast and all these things, if I'm going to endure all that, why do I need to be raptured? I've already made it through all that. Makes no sense. Not only that, but that excludes or eliminates the bema judgment of the believer and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you can't do that. So that I just gave you a 45-minute teaching in literally 30 seconds right there, but we'll break it down someday. But a mid-tribulation rapture, I can hang with that. But listen, mature believers don't argue over this stuff. I'm so sick of us believe. Listen, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we want to argue with each other about the rapture is going to happen then. The rapture is going to happen now. There's no rapture. There is a rapture. Stop it. Stop. How about this? How about you and I? Let us come together and reason with one another. You believe there's no rapture. I believe there is a rapture. Okay, fine. But here's the one thing that we have to come into agreement with, and that is we both need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, because if we're not, we are not going to endure, whether it be up to the tribulation or through the tribulation. Are you hearing me? We've got to come into agreement with that. If I'm right, I will go before you. If I'm wrong, I'll be there right with you, my brother, all the way to the end. But here's the key. I'm not going to, in these dark days ahead, I'm not going to be like those in the church of Thessalonica that has their head buried in the clouds, worrying about the rapture, worrying that they've missed the rapture. Because my theory is, if you're living right, walking right, and in right relationship with Him and in covenant with Him and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, then you shouldn't be worried whether or not you miss the rapture. But instead, are you hearing me? But instead, your objective should not be your head stuck in the clouds, wondering when the sky is going to split. But your objective should be Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you shall receive power after that, that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, we should be living our lives as if Jesus was coming back today, but we should prepare as if He's going to be a long while. That would mean that we are to occupy until He comes. So I'm not going to live every day with my head stuck in the clouds. Yes, I see the times. And listen, I thought you were pre-tribulation rapture. I am. Are you listening? I am. But until the trumpet sounds, we have a mandate. Let me go back to this. See, y'all came on here and y'all thought I was going to just be like, talk about politics and gun control and all this stuff. Honey, you got the wrong channel. You got the wrong channel. You can go over to Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or your favorite conservative channel or your favorite liberal channel, and they'll fill your cup full of that as much as you want, but that ain't going to happen here. Look at this. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now look at the next part of this. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached into all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You want to know? Listen, here's what I pray happens. Because listen, my Bible says that God is able to turn what was meant for evil and turn it for good. What would happen if we come together today on this broadcast and we pray for the families and all those that were involved in this tragedy and pray that God would use what the enemy intended for evil and turn it around for good? So you know what I'm going to pray today? I'm going to pray that somehow and some way, that if there is unsaved mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and grandmothers and grandfathers and superintendents and teachers and a janitor and police officers and firemen and whoever is all involved in this tragedy, I pray that somehow, some way, that Jesus Christ would be glorified, and I pray that souls would come into the kingdom. People, listen, hearts are ready, and the ground has been tilled for them to receive the gospel. So while we can all sit here and argue about politics and politicize this and point our fingers in this, listen, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Well, I don't live in Texas. No, but your prayers can ascend to heaven and God can stir up an angel or stir up somebody and move by the Holy Spirit all the way right there in Texas and bring about someone by divine appointment to reach to those individuals who are directly involved in this. But look at this. I'm going to go back here. But I need you to know this, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We're in dark days, guys. We're in dark times. Dark days, dark times. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. This guy, according to reports, shot his own grandmother before he went into this school, went into one classroom and gunned down these innocent kids that couldn't even defend themselves. I said, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Listen, tomorrow, you got to join us tomorrow on our broadcast tomorrow because we're going to talk about things that are happening in the house of God. My heart's been broken. I've been grieved by two major things that has happened this week alone. Something outside of the house of God and something inside the house of God. And it just, listen, it comes with the territory of being a watchman. I can fully relate to Jeremiah, who was called the weeping prophet. Because he wept over the nation. He wept over the circumstances. He wept over the conditions of the nation and the people. He wept over what was happening in his day. And listen, he wept because he sounded the alarm and people were growing numb to it. And they were growing deaf to it. And they were becoming desensitized to it. And listen, and even those in the synagogues and in the temples, in today's vernacular would be in the churches, rejected his message, rejected his warnings, and did not want to hear it. And I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. But guys, Satan is no longer doing things under the guise of secrecy anymore. He's making his agenda well known. He's showing his hand week after week after week. He's killing, stealing, and destroying. He's on a rampage. Why? Because he knows his time is short. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, and this is a word I've got for you today. All of my brothers and sisters that are watching this today. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles here in the Greek is the schemes, the plots, the plans, the agendas. You've got to put on the armor of God so that you're going to be able to stand against the agendas and the schemes and the plans and the plots of the devil. Verse 12, he emphasizes what I want to emphasize to you today. Paul tells those in Ephesus, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It would be easy to point again to certain ethnicities or certain political parties or this or that. But he's saying, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Come on, that's the devil and his demons. Therefore, Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many believes we're in the evil day? And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Come on. What's the truth? The word of the living God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, verse 16, Ephesians 6 and 16, taking the shield of faith in which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now I'm going to pull this away for a second. I want to talk about praying in the Spirit. Now you don't hear, listen, you don't hear Brother Ricky many times praying in the Spirit on a public forum like this. Why? It's not that I despise speaking in tongues. I'm like the Apostle Paul. He says, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. But he said, but in a public message, in a public forum, he said, I'd much rather speak 5 words of understanding than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue that the listener may be edified. So listen, I'm not despising speaking in tongues. I am Spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost, and I have a prayer language, and I pray in the Spirit. But when we're in a public forum like this, I pray with the understanding. Now, if the Spirit of God moves on me, there's been times in prayer that I will pray in the Spirit. Now, why do I do that? Because Romans 8 says, when we know not what we ought to pray, the Spirit prays for us. He prays with us with groanings. The Spirit prays. Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, look at this. Let me pull it back up here again. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What does it say here? In the Spirit. Paul was full of the Holy Ghost and he prayed in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, listen, you better have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As we get closer to the time of the end and the darker it gets, I'm telling you, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need your prayer language. Why? Because it's going to only get worse. And the Bible says that he who speaks and a tongue speaks in mysteries. He speaks mysteries unto God. Because when I pray in the Holy Spirit, guys, there's times I pray in the Spirit, God will begin to reveal mysteries to me. He'll begin to give me wisdom. He'll give me direction. Sometimes there's come dreams, there's come visions, and it's come through praying in the Spirit. I know we don't touch on this very often, and depending on your denominational background and the traditions you've been taught, this may be a little bit concerning for you, but it's okay. Listen, we're all learning, but I'm telling you, Paul said this. He said, you're going to have to put on the armor of God. You're going to have to be able to withstand in the evil day. And he said, you need to be praying in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So listen, this is where I want to close today. We've established that we're in the evil days. We're in dark days. We're in perilous days. We're in the end days. And according to that Bible, it is not going to get better. It is going to get darker. But listen, this is not bad news for the church. The darker it gets out there, the brighter we are to become. We're to become salt. We're to become light. We're to become effective. We're to become powerful. We're to become witnesses. You shall receive power after. Did you know in Acts chapter 1, The Bible says that they were all standing around, gazing into heaven, looking for this Jesus to return. And the Lord spoke to them, the Lord showed up and spoke to them and said, why do you, or the two angels appeared while they had their heads stuck in the clouds, wondering when the Lord was going to come back. And I know it sounds like I'm bashing us for watching for the return of the Lord, but I'm not. I'm just telling you. They had their heads stuck in the clouds, and the angels of God said, you men of Galilee, why you stand here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus will in like manner return the same way he went up. And he said, but then in that same context, that's when Jesus told them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is he saying? He's saying, and this is where I want to close with this, and we're going to pray today. Yes, the Lord's going to come back. Yes, the Lord's going to split the eastern sky. Yes, there's going to be a shout. Yes, there's going to be an archangel, and there's going to be the voice of God. Yes, there's going to be a trumpet blast. And yes, there's going to come a catching away. Now, listen, I personally believe in one perspective of the rapture, you may believe in another. But we are, if you're blood bought, born against, believer of Jesus Christ, listen, you are still on my team and I am still on your team. Stop letting the devil divide us. Because the darker it gets and the more evil it gets and the more lawlessness abounds, we got to stop arguing with each other and stop the division, and we have to be unified and come together. Now, I'm not talking about unifying other faiths and other beliefs and other weird false doctrines. So don't even try to accuse me of that. People will twist what I said. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying there is things that are fruitful and there's things that are not fruitful. And arguing and debating about the timing of the rapture to the point where it becomes divisive, where it becomes hurtful, and it begins to wound believers, is you're playing right into the hands of the enemy. And he's sitting back laughing, because we as the church are supposed to have authority in Jesus' name and to exercise that authority. You remember that? The Bible says, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. But Satan wants to keep you stupid and ignorant to that, because the whole time we're over here arguing about this stuff, we're going to continue to see what we're seeing. So number one, yes, the Lord's coming by. But number two, it is naive to believe that things are going to get better. They're only going to get worse. It's only going to get darker. But we as the church have got to step up. We have got to put on the whole armor of God. We got to get closer to the Lord. We've got to keep ourselves on fire for the Lord. We got to be praying in the Holy Ghost. We got to be hearing from God, being led by the Spirit of God. Come on. And as the church today, one of our responsibilities is to pray for this situation right now. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pull this picture back up. We're pulling the picture back up of 13 of the 19. Well, actually 13 of the 21. 13 of the 21 victims right here on your screen. This is your point of contact. I want you to stretch your hands towards the screen if you can do this. If you're just listening today and you don't see them, I want you to agree with this in prayer, because every face that you see here, there is a grieving mother. There's a grieving father. There's a grieving grandmother and grandmother. There's a grieving aunt and uncle. A stepfather, stepmother, a family member, a friend of a friend. There's people that are grieving right now. And we may not understand this, and we've never walked through this, but we owe it to them as believers in Jesus Christ to do what we've been called to do and pray earnestly pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I lift up every individual that is connected with every victim that has lost their lives through this senseless murder that's been perpetrated and carried out by Satan, who has orchestrated it. Lord, I pray for these individuals, God. I pray for every mother. I pray for every father. I pray for every aunt, every uncle, every individual that is connected to these victims. And God, I'm asking that you would turn this evil into good. Lord, I'm asking that the gospel of Jesus Christ would penetrate their lives, that there would be an opportunity that would come and present itself. Lord, whether it be through funerals, whether it be through connections, whether it be encounters, whether it be setups, divine heavenly setups. But I'm praying that somehow in some way that, Lord, you would get kingdom glory out of this, Lord, that you would turn what was evil and turn it for good. God, I'm asking that you bring peace to every family member. You would bring comfort to every family member. Lord, that you, Lord God, would bring the resources that's needed for the families that have been impacted. Lord, whether those be physical resources, whether it be counseling, whether it be therapy, Lord, whether it be healing. Lord, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, oh God, Lord, I pray, Father, I even pray for, Lord, I pray for the gunman's family. I know nobody's probably praying for him, his family. But Lord, I pray for that grandmother that was shot. I pray for his mother, his father. If they're alive, I don't know the whole circumstance or the situation with that. But I pray for anyone involved with that. Even they are grieving. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. And Lord, I pray right now for every individual under the sound of my voice today, every believer that's watching, every believer that's listening today. Lord, I pray that we would do what you've called us to do, and that is to put on the whole armor of God according to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We're to put on the helmet of salvation. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on the shield of faith. We're to put on the belt of the waist of truth. We're to put on the gospel of peace. We're to put on the sword of the Spirit. We're to put on the whole armor of God and be able to stand in the evil day. You said, having done all, stand therefore. You said, with all prayer and supplication, praying in the Holy Spirit. God, I'm asking right now in Jesus' name that every individual that is Spirit-filled, every individual that's full of the Holy Ghost, they have their prayer language. Lord, it's time that we begin to step up. We begin to pray in the Spirit like never before. If there's anybody listening today, anybody that's watching today, and you've been saved, and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I pray right now, before even at the end of this broadcast, as you lift up your hands, as you put yourself in a posture to receive, I pray that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God with fire and with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would receive your prayer language. I pray that you would begin to walk in the supernatural of God, that God would begin to speak to you through dreams and speak to you through visions and revelation of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I pray right now for a refreshing. God, heal us. Heal our hearts today, oh God. Lord, if we're listening today and we have fallen to the category of becoming numb and desensitized to the evil and to the lawlessness and to the wickedness that we're seeing in our nation and across the land and across the globe. If we become desensitized to it, oh God, I pray that you would take out of us a stony heart and put in us a heart of flesh. Lord, may you make our eyes wet. May our hearts be broken so that we can weep, that we can intercede, and that we can pray and travail and stand in the gap and make intercession for those that need our prayers and our intercession in this hour in Jesus' name. God, I pray that we would keep being the salt, that we would keep being the light. Lord, there's going to be individuals even, and I feel this strong right now, guys. I didn't plan on praying for this, but I feel like there's some of you, even at your workplace, or even maybe in your family, or maybe your neighborhood, or whatever the case may be, this tragedy is going to be brought up in conversation and somehow in some form or fashion. And I pray right now that the Spirit of God would begin to give you the wisdom. He would begin to give you the words. He would begin to give you the courage and the bravery to open your mouth and begin to declare to those around you Jesus Christ, that you would open your mouth and begin to reveal to them that we are in perilous times and that we are not promised another day. We're not promised. The Bible says our days are like a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Guys, we don't know. None of those kids and none of those families knew that yesterday would be their last breath. And I'm telling you, you've got people in your family, you've got people you work with, you've got people in your neighborhood. They need to hear the gospel out of your mouth. You may be the only Jesus that they will ever see. And you can use a situation like this as an opportunity to lead them to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know who that was for, guys, but I really feel that strong when we were praying that right there. So Lord, I just pray this today. Everything that we pray today, I pray that it would go forth. It would prosper in that which is sent forth. And I pray it today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. And it's free for your convenience that you can both watch, listen to our podcast, and you can get all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If you've not partnered with our ministry yet, there's two ways you can do that: electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, we thank you again today for this special broadcast. I didn't plan on coming on here, but I felt like we needed to discuss this and talk about this. I pray that, Lord, that you would just continue to help these individuals that are weak in their faith. Maybe you're starting to lose hope. Maybe you're starting to lose that fire. Because, listen, this stuff takes a toll on you. And I pray that the Lord would strengthen you in these evil days. So we appreciate you taking the time out to come on and be a part of our broadcast. And we're going to sign off for today. We plan on being back here tomorrow. We're going to talk about some more signs of the time of the end that are happening inside the four walls of the church. So you don't want to miss that. More stuff that we need to be in prayer about, because we knew these days were upon us. But they're here, and we've got to be prepared, and we got to be able to know how to endure to the end, whatever that looks like. So we hope that you'll be a part of the broadcast tomorrow. Again, don't forget to subscribe to, if you're watching by YouTube or by Rumble, hit the bell of the notification, subscribe to us, and be a part of what we're doing here at End Time Headlines. So until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you, bless you, and may his countenance shine upon you. In Jesus' name, we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.